We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
You know, Nikhil, like really all the other players that are out there, are working hard, they're improving. You know, just need to keep... keep the arrow pointing up and stay on the field and continue to progress from a scheme standpoint as we do more things and from a fundamental and technique standpoint for each individual player at his position. That's really the time of year we're at now. So, you know, Nikhil's in good condition. He's working hard and just keep taking it day by day. And as the competition unfolds, see how things stack up everywhere.
All right, so a lot of the media have interest now in what's going on with Nikhil Harry. Because as Lou pointed out, his representative, of course, he's the one that represents Nikhil Harry, so Nikhil Harry obviously was in on it, requested a trade. Something that you simply don't see often, and you certainly don't see it often with a Patriots player, because usually things don't work out well after you do that. And what's Bill doing? Yeah, he's in good condition. He's working hard.
Yeah, yep.
Taking
he's happy to
a be day. Here. Yeah, exactly. Awesome. Everything is just fine. So somebody had to ask him the question about Nikhil Harry's trade request. This was Bill's answer.
And I presume that, you know, we mentioned to him the other day after the discussion that his agent launched, would he like to be here? And or could he envision himself being here? He said, absolutely. And I would imagine that that's might be the way you feel as well if he's performing at a particular level.
Yeah, Nikhil and I have talked about it. I think, you know, we had a good conversation. We have a good relationship, so I'm not going to get into all that.
All right, good relationship.
That's all.
Good conversation.
That's all I'm going to give you. I'm not going to get into all that.
But Lou, you tell me. Here's what it comes down to. Nobody's willing to give Bill anything for him.
No. And this is Nikhil Harry. I mean, I think he can be moved because we've seen it before. I mean, to me, he's had the exact same career, borderline a tick better than Philip Dorsett.
Yeah.
You know, who was a bust out in Indy when you gave up Jacoby Brissett, who started at quarterback for them. You know, and it wasn't like Brissett was a guy that you weren't happy with. I don't know, you just felt like you didn't have a need for him. So you could find someone else's team, a team that kind of had a disappointing player that might fit a hole that you might need, whether it's find somebody that's disappointed like Nikhil Harry has. But I go back to the day that, like, his agent requested that trade. Man, imagine the competitor you have to be to look at that wide receiver room and say, I can't get reps here. This wide receiver room? Like, where are you going to go, Detroit? Like, what wide receiver room is going to be a better opportunity for you to possibly just grind it out, improve, show them that you've worked your ass off? I mean, they're dying for you to kind of, you know, become a 55-catch guy, 50-catch guy, whatever, right? Like, this wide receiver room, you punt on and say, you know what? I'm never going to get the chance here. These guys are just too deep. I mean, it's pathetic. You know, so listen, you grind it out. I'm sure Bill's sitting here saying, you know, I'm not going to get rid of you for nothing right now. Maybe at the end of camp, you know, if we find out that all our wide receivers stay healthy, I'm not going to trade you to find, you know, Kendrick Bourne or Jacoby Myers, you know, tweak an ankle, tweak a hamstring or groin in camp and not available. I'm not that deep. They're not that deep at all.
So Bill admitted they had a conversation. It was a good conversation. They have a good relationship, but he's not going to get into any of that.
Not going to get into all that.
None of it.
What would you guess the conversation was? Because I would think it might be something like Bill basically saying, you know, what is your guy doing? How does this in any way help you? We have a good relationship. We can't talk. We can't figure out. You're going to go out to the public. You're going to have your guy, who's a relatively new agent, make a statement out there. And how does that help anybody?
I mean, it's really sad because this is the best opportunity for him. Okay,
I mean,
Bill, you could sit down and say, "Listen, your rookie year. It's tough to adjust in this league. Plus, you were hurt. You missed what, the first 9 weeks, so that was a wash." And then last year, you know, you got a new quarterback, and we're trying to figure it out. We weren't exactly the most explosive passing offense, you know, in the league. But, you know, and you grinded it out, you worked it out, whatever. I know it's disappointing for you, but now it's year three. Like, now it's time to kind of take off. Now it's sort of time to, you know, last year, full year there, maybe you figure some things out, and now is when you're supposed to kind of take it to the next level. And we were counting on you. Like, we're not that deep. We would love for you to take that leap, but we're not shutting the door on you. We're not making it hard on you. We actually need you to take a step forward.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
That's why I think that probably was the conversation. Bill's like, what the hell are you doing? Why wouldn't you come and have the conversation with us? Have the conversation with Josh. What are we doing?
It's not like you're out in Kansas City looking around going, I don't see where I fit.
Exactly. And so,
Tampa.
And you say to him, how does it help you out? How do you think we can now facilitate a trade for you out there when everybody in the league knows you want out? I mean, it just was ludicrous for him to do it. And it's obvious what Bill's trying to do is he's trying to put some spin on it, trying to clean up the mess and see if he can, I don't know, get a trade worked out for him or rectify the situation where he fits in on that depth chart. But I think that's going to be difficult for him. Don't you?
Mm. Yeah. Yeah. I think, I just think the whole approach for him right now is just not what you want to see from a competitor. That's all. He should see the door wide open for him.
Yeah.
You really, really should. I mean, they could have, rather than spend on tight end, they could have really loaded up on wide receiver this offseason, you know, and brought in two or three guys. And then you could justify this kind of stuff. But given what they did, it's from a competitive standpoint, like it starts to question whether you even want him around or not, whether you think he's going to fix it. Yeah. I don't see it.
I don't either. I think it bears watching here during the preseason, and we'll see what happens with him. And God forbid he has another setback because he's had physical setbacks throughout his first few years as well. All right, 617-779-7937. Anybody buying Bill Belichick on Saturday coming out and announcing, haven't even played a preseason game yet, announcing his starting quarterback? Here's Fran in Boston next up on OMF. What's up, Fran?
Hey, good morning. Good afternoon, guys. How are you?
Good.
Hey, Fran.
Hey, two quick comments. Lou, and I think the last minute or two actually segues into the question. I mean, you got to account for the wide receivers last year, right?
Yeah.
I don't care if we had vintage Jerry Rice, vintage Randy Moss. Cam Newton couldn't hit a five-yard pass. So I think everyone who played on a receiver, including N'Keal Henry last year, played at a significant disadvantage, right? So we can't use last year as a framework to say, like, the receiving corps, yeah, they weren't good. I get it. They're probably not the best in the NFL. But we also had the worst throwing quarterback in the NFL, right? And N'Keal Henry, to answer your point, I'm not a big defender of his because he did have Tom Brady initially. But if you're N'Keal Henry and you're looking at having Cam Newton for another year, right? He was injured 1 year and he had all that stuff. I don't see any receiver on that team this year progressing receiver-wise if Cam Newton is throwing their medicine ball again, right? I mean, you got to look at it.
I think that's
ways.
A fear.
Like all the they weren't the best receivers, but we also had probably the worst throwing quarterback in the NFL.
And Fran, I agree with you 100%. I don't know where that conversation was going, but we've heard that too. And that's like Wiggy's argument, right? Wide receivers are poor, and I would agree with him. And they're poor again this year, in my opinion. It might be a little bit better, but at least you've got tight ends to throw to. But, to sit there and just say that the wide receivers are garbage and pretend like you didn't watch the games and see the throws to those garbage receivers, you know, I mean, you have to admit that, they weren't the best wide receivers, Glenn, but, one hoppers, like overthrowing a guy by 5 yards. Like there were times where these bad wide receivers were actually open and he couldn't get them to football. So some people that just want to defend him all the time forget about that. And they just bring up the bad receivers, which we all admit they were.
Mm-hmm.
But when you watch them, it didn't look right.
So the biggest fear I have is that you have these receivers, and I believe it is an upgrade when you add the two tight ends into the equation. Plus, you know, you're getting a running back full-time now, and maybe you throw a little bit more to him. The biggest fear I have is that you're going to find out it doesn't make a difference because, as he just said, Cam Newton can't get the ball to any of these guys. Mm-hmm. He does not have a quick release. He does not see and go through the progressions quickly enough. And so he seems to wind up for everything. Even though he went to the passing doctor in the off season here. That's the biggest fear I have.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
and then what do you do at that point unless you're going to Mac Jones? Mm-hmm. And I agree. Mac Jones is probably going to make a lot of mistakes.
Yeah, but I also feel like that guy was saying, like, if you're N'Keal Harry thinking, okay, Cam's coming back, I want out. Right? I think that's where he was going. Like, I want out because he's not going to get me the ball next year. Last year, he ain't going to get me the ball this year. And if that's the case, I want out now.
But drafting a
guy like Mac Jones, doesn't that change that? Like, don't you sort of sit there and say, okay, I'm in my third year, he's in his first year. We could have a pretty good 2, 3, 4 years together. You know, I'm still a young wide receiver. He's a young quarterback. Like, I could be his guy for the next 3 or 4 years and sort of kind of hang out with Mac Jones. You know what I mean? That type, build that kind of rapport.
I'm not sure he thought this all out as much as you just expressed. I think he's pissed.
Yeah.
And he goes to his agent. And his agent naively says, you know what? I'll put out a statement. And we'll tell them we want out. We want to get out of here. Okay, N'Keal, we want out. We're done with the Patriots. I mean, it was just outright stupid. Mm-hmm. And it was obvious when Belichick was asked the questions about him today, he is not going to get into any of it. Bill basically just sugarcoated it. That's what he did today.
Not going to get into all that.
Not going to do it.
Yeah, but behind the scenes, he's probably saying to N'Keal, what the bleep are you doing? What are we doing here?
Yeah.
But getting back to the whole Cam Newton thing, that's the biggest fear I have, and we'll probably see that in the preseason. We will see whether Cam Newton, with better receivers, is a better passer than what we saw last year. Though Bill told us he was consistent last August, last December, and now. Same guy.
Well, that's scary, isn't it?
Yeah.
That is scary. Yeah. And still nothing on the Steph Gilmore front. Right? He's not going to address it. And it's a smart play by Steph. We said this back then. Weeks ago, I think it was Josina Anderson, when he's asked her about the health, and he's going to be ready for camp, and he's like, I'm not so sure. I just started sprinting. We'll see, but I don't know. And it was, like, beautiful. Very smart play from obviously a smart guy, even when he threw out what he was willing to take. He kind of threw that on Bill Belichick's lap. I'll take a one-year deal. I'll take an extension, whatever. So, Bill, if you don't sign me, it's on you. I've already publicly said I'll take anything. But talking about not being possibly ready for camp allowed him to be put on the PUP list. When camp starts.
That was smart.
Which they can't find him every day for holding out. So instead, he's on the PUP list holding out.
Yep.
Plus, I guarantee if they get an extension or money, I guarantee he's going to come off that PUP list the minute they come to some kind of an agreement.
He's going to be healthy
instantly.
So Bill addressed it. He was asked today about Gilmore's situation.
Oh, yeah. Let's keep taking it day by day. It's really pretty much the same situation with a lot of those players. Just see how each day goes, and if it improves, then we move ahead, and if it doesn't, then I might have to pause until we can kind of get things ready to move forward. So,
Yeah, that's it.
Kind of going it day by day.
Yeah.
That's what he's saying.
Yeah.
So what else is it? Right. So what else is he going to do? But you're right. What'll happen is we will find out. He'll show up one day. And probably within a day or two after that, we'll find out there's been an adjustment made.
That's when he mysteriously would get healthy.
In the
but I do worry that the importance of a guy like Steph Gilmore, we can sit here and talk about top five defense all we want. Without Steph Gilmore, I think that changes your thoughts on what that defense can be. So, and the other thing that concerns me is how deep do we go into camp? You know, is this one of those things like the week before the season starts? You know, they work out some kind of an agreement.
Maybe.
And Steph Gilmore runs out there in the field and practices for 2 or 3 days and is go shut down the number one wide receiver. How long does that last before he goes down with some type of injury? Like, the guys miss camp. You know, they hold out. They miss camp. I mean, you might as well just bank it. You're not getting 17 games out of the guy. Maybe you get 9, 10, 12, whatever. But you miss camp like that? I mean, how many times have you seen it all the time?
I don't think he can miss the entire camp, but they're going to have a couple weeks
here.
No,
he better hurry to get back. They better straighten this thing out.
Yeah, I'm not sure they have to straighten it out right away, especially when you do want to make sure that he's 100% when you bring him back. But I agree with you. 2 weeks from now, now you're getting a little bit concerned. Right now, on August the 2nd, when you're not playing, what's your first game? September 12th, something like that? I'm not worried about it right now. Luke, 2 weeks from now, I think you have to worry about it because you're right. You've got to get his conditioning. You've got to get him up to speed. On the other hand, how much was he really going to play in the preseason?
Mm-hmm.
He's not going to play that much.
No.
Coming off of the
pump. No, but it's these reps here, the contact, the 11-on-11, when they start putting pads on. Those sort of, they're doing it for a reason, right? Just getting your body acclimated to it, your body used to everything. And I just always feel like, hold out, show up, and they end up getting hurt.
Yeah.
It's just the way it is.
Yeah. It's all crazy. While I was gone, the Bruins were quite active. David Krejci is no longer a member of the Boston Bruins. We'll hit on that coming up next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.
David and I have communicated pretty consistently over the last little while. Nothing has changed in that front. You know, he has his own reasons, and he's going to keep those private, as I am, in terms of what his timeline is. Not unlike Tuca, we've left things completely open-ended about him possibly returning to play for us. So there's not a definitive timeline, as you could see from several of the signings and the approach that we took, that the center ice position, a little bit by committee.
All right, so it's been interesting watching the Bruins play this out in the last couple weeks, and I think we all liked the fact that Taylor Hall was coming back, but we thought that part of that line might be David Krejci. Now, if you've heard Lou talk about this in the last couple weeks, Lou kind of had an indication, and he's got some connections here, that something was going on with Krejci, and I noticed while I was on vacation last week, one of these, I believe it was a reporter, I forget, I think he had a blue check mark, claimed that he had a story in which Krejci was, the Bruins were going to announce a multi-year contract with David Krejci, and you had a little, I wouldn't be so sure about that response to that guy. So obviously you knew something. He's going back to his home, the Czech Republic. What happened?
The Bruins knew this for weeks. You know, a lot of people wondering, you heard that comment, you see the way we approached free agency centered by committee. They knew for weeks when free agency started that David Krejci was retiring and going home. As a matter of fact, I believe it was the end of June where they actually sat down, I think first kind of talked about some numbers, and it was then where the numbers weren't close, where going home, retiring from the game and going playing in Czechoslovakia became more of a reality for Krejci. And over the course of time, it became even more so, everything got done, whatever. But I'm telling you, for about 3 weeks, and out of respect, because I know we do what we do, but out of respect of, you know, the people that I've talked to about this, and more for David Krejci, if the man's going to retire, he's going to retire the way he wants to retire, because he's earned that.
Yeah.
So he wanted to wait till the announcement. I sure as hell wasn't going to step on that. But the picture, it was more about, like Sweeney says, we're still communicating. We're leaving the door open. Well, they were communicating, then they knew. They knew it. And as a matter of fact, I think they asked him to kind of hold off on the announcement for a couple of weeks. So they knew going into free agency that there was no David Krejci. They planned for it, and this is kind of where they came up with, right? So I don't know if Foligno's going to slide into that second-line center or if the whole time they felt like Charlie Coyle could handle it, but that was the plan. It wasn't sign these guys in the hopes that Krejci decides to come back and we can work something out. They knew about it for weeks, and this was their plan.
So he had always had a desire to return home, and I thought it was interesting because I saw his statement the other day. At this point in my career and life, I need to return to the Czech Republic and play in front of my family who sacrificed so much to help me achieve my NHL dreams. I want to play in front of my parents, brother, and friends. I want my children to live where I grew up. Spent time with so many Czech family members who love them and create lifelong memories. So I take it that if he's not going to get big, huge money, and at this stage in his career, Lou, he's not getting it. This has always been a desire of his.
Yeah.
He has talked about this over the years of going back home. It probably made all the sense in the world to do it now.
Yeah,
right?
And the biggest question I think that he had was, like, and I think he made up that mind that it was Boston or home, you know, because it was, he could have played probably a couple more years somewhere else. You know, a place like Nashville, I think, would have been interesting for whatever. Different places would have been interesting. And that was the question. But I think then he just finally decided it's either Boston or I'm going home. And at that point, I don't know what the money was. I don't know what the offer was. But it definitely wasn't enough. And to be honest with you, if he's even thinking of retiring and going to Czechoslovakia, I don't know. I mean, I guess if they threw another 6-7 in front of him, it would have been a different story.
Yeah.
But this was a reality. He wanted to go home. He wanted his kids to grow up there. He wanted to learn the language. Like, there was a lot of personal things that he wanted to go back and enjoy his life.
Yeah, he's talked about this before in the past about this. And
just that he's young. Like, there was a couple more years in this league if he wanted it.
Yeah, well, he's been in the league, what, 15 years now, something like that. And you're right, he probably has a couple more years in him. Here's his problem. At his age right now, he's not going to command the big bucks. So he can't do it because of his age right now.
Mm-hmm.
And so if you're going to do it, you go to the Czech Republic. You're not going to make as much money as you would make in the National Hockey League. But I don't know. Maybe he can make as much money over there now where he is because he's going to be an attraction over there. And it makes all the sense in the world to do it.
Yeah, it's just strange.
He wasn't going to get the big bucks.
A strange approach from the Bruins. It's almost like they, you know, they felt like their depth was one of the reasons why they didn't, you know, move on in the postseason. And it's true. It was. But now it's almost like they spent all this money on depth. You know what I mean? They're spending $2.5-3 million on these 2-year, 3-year deals on depth guys. And those are supposed to be the guys you're supposed to draft and develop.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You're supposed to draft and develop a third and fourth line. But instead, now you got to go out and spend $2.5-3 million. And with Krejci, the hole there, people sort of felt like, oh, it's too bad he decided to retire. No, that was their approach the whole time. I mean, they knew.
Yeah,
they knew this for weeks that he wasn't coming back. And, you know, Taylor Hall, they brought him back with no Krejci. You know, wasn't bringing him back hoping they can get Krejci there. No. They knew. So it's like, okay, well, you focused on your back seven, six rather, and you spent all this money on those guys where you're supposed to be saving money. Now you're worried about the second line. You got Taylor Hall and who? Charlie Coyle?
Yeah.
Maybe it works. Foligno? I don't know.
Yeah, but do you think that was part of the process? You said that the Bruins knew about this weeks ago.
Yeah.
And yet they asked nothing to be said. They needed the fact that of the uncertainty as leverage for the guys they were bringing in, didn't they?
Probably. You know, and just sort of like, you know, but I don't know. But like when I heard Foligno talking when they signed, they're like, you know, and the uncertainty with David Krejci's situation.
Yeah.
You know, and the opportunity I had, I was like, there's no uncertainty.
No.
But he knew exactly what was going on. I mean, that's one of the reasons why, to me, they could have brought some guys in. Listen, David ain't coming back. So you could find yourself on the second line. You know, you could find yourself moving up this you know, whatever, third line, fourth line, you know, these types of things. And even Sweeney admitted it there. We went, like, center by committee. So I think, you know, privately, they probably kind of used it to bring guys in to show them that there's opportunity while saying, David, hold off on this, you know, on your announcement. And, you know, we'll get through this. We'll sign all of our guys. I don't know. Because, listen, if David Krejci announced his retirement 2-3 weeks ago, when he basically, 3 weeks ago or so, maybe even, about 3 weeks ago, when he decided that was it was over, I don't know, does that put pressure on the Bruins to go out and replace David Krejci and spend more money on that second-line center? Knowing that they probably, you know, they couldn't find an answer, so they say, hey, hold off, let us get through this, and then we can make it sound like you just sort of left us.
Well, there was a reason that they did that, because you don't believe that Krejci was holding off that announcement, right?
No, from what I was told, he was asked to hold off on his announcement.
Okay, so the Bruins did it, and the Bruins did it for a specific business reason. So whether it was to create some leverage. So Foligno, they're probably sitting there saying, hey, we don't know, Krejci might be coming back. Now, your point was maybe it's a golden opportunity for him.
Well, Foligno was talking about moving up, that's all. Like, you know,
right.
Coming in as a third line with the opportunity to move up to the second.
Right.
Like, yeah, he's just... Because you know what's going on. Now, maybe they told him but didn't tell others. I don't know. You know what I mean? So, I don't know. They tell Taylor Hall Krejci wasn't coming back? I think they may want to help. Maybe that was it. Maybe
so
they
that
wanted,
might have been it.
Maybe that was it. Maybe they that wanted to hold off and not tell this guy that his partner's coming back. I have no idea. But I was told that they asked him to hold off a few weeks on this announcement.
Yeah. The fact that they did it, obviously, there was a reason that they were doing it. It wasn't necessarily to protect him, because what does he get out of protection out of any of this stuff?
Mm-hmm.
You know, it would make more sense for him to do it right then and there and not keep the uncertainty going. But the Bruins used it for a reason, and maybe it worked out for them, Lou. Maybe they were able to deal with Taylor Hall. Maybe they were able to deal with Foligno. Maybe one of these deals worked out better for them in the end. But there it is. He goes back to the Czech Republic. Isn't that amazing? So his kids have gone. How old are his kids now?
Oh, daughter and then a boy. I don't even know. A daughter's older now. The boy, I think,
they
might
teenagers
be.
Teenagers yet?
No. I'm not so sure. The boy might be in that like three range.
So it's interesting because he wants them to go where he grew up because the kids don't speak Czech at all, and he mm-hmm. wants them to go over there. That's an interesting thing. For
daughter's
the kids
older,
who,
though, yeah.
Who have grown up here in the United States. All right, does anybody have any idea what the hell the Celtics are doing? What Brad Stevens is doing?
Bringing the band back together, Glenn.
Can somebody help me out? Was there any thirst out there that we need to have Kelly Olynyk back? That we need to have Jeff Green back? That we need to have Avery Bradley back? That we need to have Isaiah Thomas back? Was there any real cry out there by the public to bring any of these guys back? We'll discuss it next. And if you know what they're doing, please tell me. We'll do it next.
It's fair enough in this situation. And Matt, also for you, you're 18 years old, it's your first Olympics, and you swam. Honestly, your third leg was just phenomenal.
He's talking about whose third leg?
An 18-year-old British swimmer.
Swimmer. Oh, the Olympics.
Yes, yes.
The
leg of the race, of course.
Which of the Olympics you watch?
That got weird. You know what? Today I actually sat down and watched that USA-Japan baseball game.
Did you?
But every time I turn on, it's like, you know, I don't know, table tennis, handball, regular tennis, you know, partners.
We've had diving on in here, and I don't know understand how they score.
But it's like I just keep searching for like, can I just get a loop of like track and field and like even gymnastics, basketball. Baseball.
Some of it is streamed so
it's
that you
freaking
can...
water polo. Everywhere.
Yeah, water polo is great.
But do you care about what? And do you care about watching like Argentina play like Austrian women's soccer?
So I have the same problem, and maybe it is that we just have a short attention span these days. And every time I turn it on, Lou, I never find anything that I want to watch. And then I'm trying to find out, like, when is the basketball team playing? Playing what, France? Is that who they play? Give me the time. What are the times?
But
you
just think like NBC Sports. Like, there's no reason to show me like Australia versus like Brazil women's soccer.
Care.
Like, shouldn't it all be U.S. centric? Like, I don't even care. I watched freaking Greco-Roman like a little bit because it was a U.S. You know, some girl was wrestling.
So you want the America channel?
I don't. Yeah, and then like the Greco-Roman, I'll turn it on and be somebody from like Ukraine versus the ROC. By the way. We get into that, ROC?
That is the Russian Olympic Committee.
Okay, so they're all suspended. They can't represent Russia.
Correct.
That's correct.
Shouldn't they just not be in the Olympics then?
They're not representing Russia by representing
Russia. So it's a technicality.
Yes.
So we come down on you hard, you can't represent Russia, so you're going to create a different name and put a different symbol with the rings.
Exactly.
You got that
like,
right.
Like, why wouldn't you just not let them compete for doping, but instead would let you change your name?
Lou? Everyone gets a trophy.
How long did it take you to realize?
We don't do that anymore. We don't strip them of their eligibility. We don't do that.
How long did it take you to realize that what country ROC was?
I just learned that 5 seconds ago. I have no idea.
ROC.
I thought it was a woman's clothing store.
The Russian Olympic Committee. And they're all over the place. And I'm like, this ROC country.
It's crazy.
Christ, they're winning everything. They are tough. Where the hell are they from? Aros. Is it Rochester?
No, that's where they're from.
Republic of Congo.
Rockland.
Rockland? Where are we at?
All right, there's our Olympic talk for the day.
Another rainbow from Tristan Casas.
Yeah, it was a bomb, dude.
All right, so your Boston Celtics and Brad Stevens have been extremely active. Does anybody have any freaking clue as to what they're doing here?
I hope Brad does.
Oh, my God. So here's how it works out.
Go ahead.
And the green teamers have to explain it to me. So you have acquired Josh Richardson.
Yeah.
And you have used the rest of your TPE. And Lou's big on TPE.
Wait, which one?
Well, this was the big one. This was the Gordon Hayward one. Mm. But this one is a little bit confusing. So you had $11 million left on it.
Yep.
And so what happened is Josh Richardson opted into his final year.
Okay.
He's making $11.6
million. Okay.
So it fits in because you're still in last year's calendar year. You can use that trade exception.
Okay.
But here's the one difficulty I have with it, and this plays to what you said at the time. I'm going to be pissed if they don't actually get something substantial because we started with a $28 million trade exception, right?
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
$28
million. Glenn, record.
Record trade exception.
Danny Ainge, the genius. Continue.
Exactly.
So continue.
You originally went out and got Evan Fournier with that, and then
months.
Now Josh Richardson. Here's the problem.
Go ahead.
I am thoroughly convinced that Brad Stevens' reason for getting Josh Richardson is more of a replacement for Evan Fournier. Because Evan Fournier is going to sign with the Knicks or somebody else that's going to give him a lot of money, and I think there'll be a lot of money out there on the table.
So let me rewind a little bit, because this came up last week, too. Number one, first off, let me just go back. So should I be apologizing to Danny now? Because I was told that when he got that $28.5 million TPE that I should apologize to him because it was a record-high TPE.
It was.
My response was, let's see how he uses it. So I'm just wondering if 2 months of Evan Fournier and now Josh Richardson for 1 year, only because it's an expiring contract, like, should I apologize for Danny being a genius? Is that so? I'm sorry. Danny, I'm sorry. I thought you didn't know what you're doing.
So I'm coming
over. I mean, if you could turn it into 2 months of Fournier and 1 year of Josh Richardson, what a steal. Great move, Danny.
So I'm coming over to your side on this. If that's all you got.
It is.
Was 1 year it's out over. Of Josh Richardson. And by the way.
Glenn, what do you mean if that's all you got? It's over. That's right, all you
money
got.
Well spent.
Four team in 4 years. And I'm not a big fan of Josh Richardson. He can defend. I'll
Wait
give him that.
You see what they do with the $28.5 million. Oh, Maloney, you think you're smart. You don't know anything. I'll tell you about basketball.
I wouldn't get excited. And by the way, they had to trade Moses Brown as part of that deal. When they made the deal to get Moses Brown, weren't the green teamers trying to convince me and others that Moses Brown's got unbelievable upside? He's going to be a hell of a player.
Glenn,
they didn't bring him here to play.
They were saying, oh, he's basically the 16th overall pick in this year's draft, Moses Brown. He's basically your 16th overall selection, and he's not even on the roster for one game.
It is. Do you remember, though, Tyler, how the green teamers got all excited about Moses Brown and the upside? Are you kidding me? They didn't even bring him here for that. They brought him in because this is all clerical work. This is all looking at contracts and how we have flexibility. You can move people
so
around.
So let me ask you this now, because this came up last week, Glenn. Would Danny Ainge have been better off getting that huge TPE, that record set in TPE that everybody loved, that everybody was talking about, that he turned into 2 months of Fournier and freaking Josh Richardson? Or would you be better off of using for Miles Turner and Doug McDermott? I don't know if you saw that rumor that they might possibly be back in on Miles Turner, which I would love because then the Celtics fans who crapped all over him after almost getting him, but first they loved him, then they didn't love him anymore because Danny said he wasn't interested, so then they crapped on him, but now they might be interested again. But so, wouldn't you have been better off if you had Doug McDermott last year, Miles Turner this year, and moving forward?
I'm going to give in to your side on this one. You would have been better off, even though you know, and I was saying this before,
he's a little inconsistent.
Miles Turner was talking. They were talking about Miles Turner. I'm not as big a fan of Miles Turner as you are. I think he's a limited player, and I think you'll see that if he ever comes here. There's certain things he does well,
better than
like
Cornette.
Block shots, and there's certain things he doesn't do well, like do a lot of rebounding. do a lot of scoring. So then I go on it, and I see that they made another deal. Finally got Chris Dunn. Boy, I remember the people the night of the draft were all pissed off.
Oh, you can't take Jaylen Brown. You got Chris Dunn just waiting for you.
I'll say this. Like, I'm a Providence College, Providence College grad.
Sniff, he's a sniff.
And I laughed at everybody that wanted Chris Dunn. He was like a slasher. I liked him, but I'm like, no. Like, he's not that guy.
So Tristan Thompson, who we know they didn't want here anyway, his attitude and everything else. But you get Chris Dunn, and you're going to deal Chris Dunn somewhere else. He's probably not even going to be on the team. And then again, do any of you guys think that they're going to sign Evan Fournier? Does anybody believe that?
No, you got that one report that they're not even close. That Evan Fournier is still looking for 4 years, like $80 million. And they're not willing to go there. Let me ask you, when they traded for Evan Fournier, okay, and they used part of that TPE, because this is the genius move, duh, idiots, obviously they're going to re-sign him. Duh, they're not going to just use it for like 2 months of the guy, you idiot. When they traded for him, what did we say what it was going to take to sign him in the offseason?
I said it was going to cost between $80 and $100 million.
Four and 80. Tyler, correct me if I'm wrong. Wasn't it four and 80 to sign him in the offseason? So he's asking for four and 80. And they don't want to re-sign him. So this whole thing of like, oh, they're going to do it and obviously bring him back and he's going to be a good scorer for them. No, they knew what it was going to cost. And now we are where we are. Now, maybe after seeing him for 2 months, they realized he's not worth the investment. And if that's the excuse, God bless him. But you knew exactly what it was going to take to sign this guy.
And unfortunately, he's doing so well in Tokyo, his value is skyrocketing.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he's worth 30 a year.
He's having a great tournament over here.
Him and Yabusele taking down Team USA probably earned him another $5 million.
Good God.
You're right. I mean, Luka Doncic may be the only guy that's having a better tournament than he is right now.
Obviously, they're going to re-sign him, idiot. Danny's not going to just waste part of that TPE and just let him go after 2 months.
So
stupid,
Maloney. I'm looking at this list of all these players. So Kemba Walker is gone. Evan Fournier is going to be gone. Josh Richardson.
Yep. I don't mind Josh Richardson. Do you?
He's okay.
He fits a role.
Okay. So that probably
$10 million, right? Whatever. I mean, he's an expiring deal at the end of the year.
Well, that probably means, and Chris Mannix was all over this today in writing about it. It probably means they're going to deal Marcus Smart.
Well, this is what he said. He said, unsurprisingly, this is Chris Mannix today. Boston's brass isn't too comfortable opening the season with point guard depth chart topped with Marcus Smart and Peyton Pritchard. There's internal interest in Nets point guard Spencer Dinwiddie, although acquiring Dinwiddie, who told SI's Howard Beck that he's seeking a contract 5 years, $125. He said, expect the Wizards was going to be a point guard hunt for Westbrook. They're thinking Dinwiddie goes there. But he does go on and says that their acquisition of Josh Richardson could spell the end of Marcus Smart's run in Boston. Smart has become a fan favorite over 7 years in Boston, but Brad Stevens has been frustrated by Smart's unpredictable play in recent years, sources.
Kind of the unpredictable play we've been talking about for some time now. Apparently Brad figured it out.
He says they could extend Smart, but two people familiar with Stevens' thinking tells SI that it's more likely Stevens will look to trade Smart before the start of the season.
Well, they have to get a point guard. So he's the guy you probably deal away to get a point guard, a team that feels that they can re-sign him. But I'll tell you what, if you're looking at Richardson taking over for Marcus Smart, you're going to have the same frustration, guys. Look it up, Tyler. What is his three-point shooting percentage? 34?
Conveniently, 35? It was the exact same percentage as there Marcus Smart last season, 33%.
Is a better defender.
He shoots more often from three than Marcus Smart does.
He does. Six he shoots an awful lot. He's got a terrible conscience when it comes to shooting. That's why I'm not a big fan of Josh Richards. There's a reason a guy is on his fourth team in 4 years.
No, I agree. Mannix talking about the value of Marcus Smart. He said that last season they were shopping him, seeking multiple first-round picks. A team executive with knowledge of discussions told him. They asked him, what's his value now? Remember, two first-round picks last season. Probably a first-round pick and a rotational player. Might be able to swap him for a similar player that fits a positional need. Danny Ainge valued him like an all-star, though, and he is not. Overvaluating Marcus Smart.
Correct. Agree. So what do the Celtics do? Dinwiddie's going to be too expensive. I like him. When he's had an opportunity with the Nets to go out there and play when Kyrie was down, he was really good. Lonzo Ball is a restricted free agent. And so if the Pelicans go out and sign Lowry, then maybe he becomes available. But the Pelicans aren't going to let him go for absolutely nothing. They're going to do a sign and trade with you, right? They're going to do something, and you're going to have to give up other stuff to be able to do it.
Where give are they up Marcus better- Smart. Where, see, where I look at it, I think it's more interesting to hearing all this now from Mannix and Brad Stevens' way of thinking. When the season got over, didn't it just seem like the promotion of Marcus Smart was at an all-time high? Remember we were talking about it? Like Ime came out and said that he's a foundational piece. Didn't, like, the Celtics or something just put out, like, a video of how, like, all these defensive plays of Marcus Smart, or he was named, like, co-defensive player of the year? And
Marcus Smart, the heart and soul of the Boston Celtics.
It seemed like the promotion of Marcus Smart, well, I'm setting you up as he's a foundation piece not going anywhere. Yeah, and now you're hearing this report thinking,
pumping okay. up his trade value. Think about this. They raved about Kemba Walker all year long. Privately, behind closed doors, what do you think they were saying about Kemba Walker? He doesn't fit in. We got to get rid of him because he seems like a nice enough guy. There wasn't any issues with his personality, which you could say with Kyrie, but he didn't fit in. Marcus Smart, they were hiding it, Lou. Unless Danny Ainge loved him and maybe Brad feels differently, I don't know that, but they were hiding the dissatisfaction with Marcus Smart. So if they deal Marcus Smart off right now, it's because of the reason that you're reading for Mannix right now, that Brad Stevens is not happy
with
him.
See them. I don't know what it would take to get Lonzo. And I don't know, maybe if they bring in Lowry, would they be interested in Marcus Smart and just sort of being like, okay, those two, that's like, you know, as far as defense goes, they're two dogs. It'd be outstanding.
The Lonzo money starts at about 4 years, $80 million.
Well, I mean,
Chicago is very interested in him, so that's been the rumor so far.
Who would you rather have, Lonzo Ball or Evan Fournier? I think
Lonzo,
that's easy.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
Lonzo, no doubt.
So, okay, you're not willing to go there for Fournier. You're willing to go there and sign a trade, whatever. Try to make this thing happen with Lonzo and put a real point guard with these two guys and see what it looks like. Like, I think it's important to see what it looks like with a guy that's not shoot first, you know, like Kemba Walker, not a scorer, a guy facilitator, and see what it looks like for a year before you start making huge moves and thinking about moving a guy like Jaylen Brown.
Yeah, so there are two things I think they're doing, and that is they're trying to get into a financial situation next year where they have total flexibility. So if one of those players, maybe it's Bradley Beal, one of those players becomes available, they're going to be able to have the open book to be able to go and get that guy. The other thing I see that is happening in all of this is that they're going out and they have interest in Kelly Olynyk, Avery Bradley, Jeff Green, who I think you saw is really good on a really good team. I'm not sure he's going to be a great contributor to this team. And then Isaiah Thomas.
The little guy.
So I love Isaiah Thomas. I feel awful. I don't think there's been any athlete that I can remember, Lou, in an awful long time that has had as poor timing when it comes to cashing in, getting your money, getting paid than Isaiah Thomas. So I feel really bad for the guy and what's happened. Does anybody really believe, based on the fact that he's had a cup of coffee here in the last year and a half, that he's not right physically, does anybody really believe that Isaiah Thomas has any role with this Boston Celtics team other than you're trying to appease the green teamers, the public, because they love him and I do as well?
Well, maybe that's a big part of it. I think I don't mind them bringing in IT. And I think given where this year is headed, you know, if you bring in a guy, a fan favorite, I think that can help an organization tell its fan base to be patient with us. We got a plan. We're going to throw you a little bone with IT. Okay? We're going to throw him in a court. You guys can scream and yell for him. All right, but we are pretty much at a standstill right now. This is about financially building a team that is in position next offseason to kind of maybe go out and make that big move. Go get that big piece next year. Because it's going to be much of the same this coming season.
Yeah.
Maybe they just fix it in the fringes. So bring in a guy like IT. I don't know. You tell me. Listen, if he can't play, he can't play. You bring him into camp. If he can't play, he's gone. But can he be a seventh, eighth guy better than what you had in the bench? Come in, I don't know, shoot a few threes, score some points, be a shooter off the bench? I would say he's willing to accept that role now more than he was probably 3 years ago, 2 years ago. So if he comes in and can be that kind of guy, then God bless him. And if it doesn't work, you get rid of him. I don't see the
Well, they do issue. Need a they do need a fan favorite because I don't know if you saw it, but they did not pick up the option with Taco Fall. He's now a free agent.
Oh, what are you going to do?
Crushed.
It's
Everybody
crushed.
Told me a couple years ago, you can't teach height. Look at him. He's going to be unbelievable.
It's always better to bring a fan favorite in that actually plays once in a while. You know what I mean?
Rather than I think Isaiah Thomas is. Really yeah, IT has a better shot. I don't think a lot of minutes, but getting more minutes than Taco Fall. But if you're talking about the difference of Isaiah Thomas and Spencer Dinwiddie or Lonzo Ball, I mean, they're
in a different levels. Right, different levels. You're talking about starter versus like an eighth guy off the bench that maybe can get hot once in a while.
Wondering if this is the media just playing games because they're all telling us names that Brad Stevens wants of ex-players.
Jeff Green,
like Olynyk
IT,
and Bradley. Right, Jeff Olynyk. Green. And then the other players we're hearing about are Rudy Gay. Rudy Gay and Patty Mills, who Udoka coached in San Antonio, right?
Yeah.
So maybe they're just kind of connecting the dots and putting this together. Why would you necessarily just want players that played with you before? And they're all an expiring
Well, because one
contract.
Thing, you know their personalities, right? Okay, so again, you go back to the whole thing of like, we're not going to be able to bring in this great talent, so let's bring in guys and have a better attitude on this damn team. Bring in some guys that are going to get after it a little bit, guys that maybe we've dealt with in the past that we know what they're all about, and we have a better attitude. You know, it's not like the same thing as like Red Sox, but it's like I'm going to bring guys in that aren't great. I'm going to bring in guys that I know that are going to have the right mindset, and hopefully kind of it'll permeate within that locker room, and it can help some other guys. So maybe that's just bringing in familiar guys that you know all you're all about because it's more about attitude maybe. Because you know it's not about talent right now because you can't bring it in.
So maybe Brad Stevens is concerned about establishing specific culture in there.
Yes.
Because Kemba's out.
Yes.
And already we know they're trying to push Smart out the door, whether they can pull that off or not. So he obviously senses some of that. And, of course, they brought back Al, and we know that Al's one of those guys, good culture guys.
Perfect.
Right? The best.
Culture.
The best.
Are you kidding me? And that's the thing. You bring in guys like that. Guys like Jeff. But, I mean, if you're Jeff Green, isn't he at a point in his career where he's going to go to a team that has a chance to go to the finals? Like, isn't he just like that guy now?
Why would he leave Brooklyn?
That's what I mean. Like, what? Why would he ever go?
He had, like, his best game of his life. When Kevin Durant almost scored 50, he had, like, 6-for-6 on the corner.
And
three.
If he leaves Brooklyn, why wouldn't he go to L.A.? You know, if he leaves, you know what I mean? Why wouldn't he go somewhere that's, Milwaukee?
Go play with LeBron and stand in the corner.
Right.
So, Tyler, you're not falling for any of this Kawhi Leonard stuff or Chris Paul now that they've opted out, right? You don't think that's a possibility for the Celtics, do you?
No. But okay. I would throw the question to you, Glenn. Why aren't they interested in Kyle Lowry, who seems like it'd be $19-21 million a year, short-term, two-year deal? Why wouldn't they do that?
I would do that if I were them. I would do that if I were them because he's got balls. He's the type of guy that I think would be perfect.
But you can't just sign him to that. How do you got to do to get him?
Well, you'd have to clear some space. Probably have to move the Marcus Smart contract in order to bring him in. But I think if you can do that, I would do that.
Oh, I'd do that in a heartbeat.
Absolutely. Yeah,
because, I mean, if you're already talking about Fournier and what he wants, you know, if you're in that same ballpark, I mean, obviously he's too much for them at 4 and 80, like, you know, 20 per.
Sure.
You can't make some things happen for Lowry there?
Yeah,
but, Lou, I know we like to do this all the time when you make trades or whatever. I'm talking about you've lost Kemba Walker. You're going to lose Fournier, we believe. You've got Tristan Thompson is out the door. Possibility Marcus Smart is out the door. And I'm looking at what they've acquired. How does anybody see them being any better? I think they're worse.
Oh, yeah, God, yeah, they're worse. I mean,
they brought Allen.
No, they're worse. They're worse. The minute they got... Listen, I'm sorry, but the minute they got rid of Kemba, they're worse.
Yeah.
And we can rip on Kemba all we want. As far as regular season goes, you know, like you said, postseason matchup defensively, I get it. Doesn't play on back-to-backs. The guy still averaged 20 a night.
Yep.
Okay? And where are you going to get that from? So, and when he did play, it was inconsistent. In the playoffs, it wasn't good. He didn't play. But, you know, so it's back-to-backs, fine. But when he played, he's still averaging 20 a night. So,
again,
how are you better?
You're not. And
no,
again,
so you bring in culture, right? You bring in those types of guys. Try to reset that and basically just plan this financially, Brad, to be in play next offseason. That's it.
Bradley Beal thing off the table now, Tyler, because he apparently has no desire to leave. I don't know. Westbrook is out of there. It gives them money, gives them an opportunity to reshuffle their roster. I don't understand the Westbrook to the Lakers. Somebody's got to explain that one to me. Isn't he too much like LeBron? Isn't he similar skill set to LeBron?
Yeah,
does that make any sense?
He must be a big Kyle Kuzma and Kentavious Caldwell-Pope fan because I don't understand why he would not want to leave D.C. after that trade. You're basically building for the next 3, 4, 5 years in D.C., so you're not winning in the next 2 or 3 years, let alone going to the playoffs. So I don't know what Brad Beal's trying to accomplish. Maybe he's trying to fool everybody and have you know, everyone think he is staying there for the long term and then bounce next summer and come to Boston.
He's not staying there long term.
He can't.
I think he's gone
waste
next
his
year.
Career.
And year I think, one he, of a yeah. rebuild. Guys don't right. do that.
Right. So I think a year from now, he's the guy that you focus in on. And so Lou's right. You go a year here with Tatum and Brown. Let's see how it plays out. Maybe you can get Lonzo Ball. Maybe you can create a little bit more offense. I don't feel good about Josh Richardson at all. I don't see where he fits into any of this, but so be it. And then a year from now, you get back into the Bradley Beal sweepstakes. And that, again, you're probably going to have to give somebody up because I don't know how you fit it in with him as a free agent. You have to do a sign and trade probably with Brown and numerous other players. All right. I still can't figure it out. How are they any better? I don't see how people can get excited about any of the stuff that's going on with the Celtics right now. All right, we were so excited about the Red Sox, weren't we? The first 3 months were absolutely wonderful, terrific. And then suddenly the trading deadline came and went. Angry Lou is still angry about it, and he should be, because the Red Sox did nothing. We get to it coming up next right here on OMF.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.